chair, board members, if you would turn to the left, pamphlet, and we'll just go directly to page 15. Just for clarification, this is a report through the 28th of February, closing to that quarter. If you'll look at the blue box, the light shade at the bottom of it, you'll see that the current value of the portfolio as of the date is $24,312,000. To give you a little perspective, the last time that we met, the portfolio value was $23,733,000, so we're up about $570,000 since that last report. The major indices, the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500, our benchmark, during that same time frame was up about 0.5%. The portfolio valuation is up to 2.4 during that time frame. The asset allocation, the main thing there, we are within tolerance of the investment policy. I guess really the last thing before I have Paul come up here, the current value as of Friday of the portfolio is $24,964,000. So we're still moving with the market. Any questions for me?
What I thought I'd do is, I think the last time we met, I gave you a book that did not include the top 10 predictions of Bob Dahl. I had a little handout that had those in there. This actually does have all those top 10 predictions. It also has a little bit of the rationale behind that, some charts you can look at. What I thought I'd do is start out by going through what our top 10 forecasts are and then get into the portfolio review itself. So if you turn a couple pages back, it says the 2006 investment outlook. It's 10.
Page 1.
First and foremost is we do expect the economy to slow this year. It's been persistently strong throughout the past couple of years. We are starting to see signs of that. We expect that because on the consumer front, with higher energy prices, higher interest rates, we feel like consumers definitely going to slow down their spending. The pickup's going to be on the corporate side, where corporations are pretty flush with cash. Corporate earnings are still very strong cash flow. So while corporations continue to spend, we think the consumer spending slowdown will slow the economy overall. And again, we are starting to see signs of that finally, particularly in housing. This is what the Fed is waiting for before they stop their increases in interest rates. Hopefully, we're getting closer to that point. Secondly, we do expect the earnings will come in below consensus expectations. We had very, very strong earnings the last three or four years. There's still strong expectations of double-digit earnings for the full year. Those are starting to come down a little bit. First quarter, however, has come in stronger than we expected, which again is positive for corporate earnings. But it's, I think, about 68% of earnings are coming in above expectations so far this year. We do expect that over the next couple of quarters to possibly disappoint to some degree. Third forecast we had was that the U.S. yield curve would invert. What this means is that the shorter term rates will go higher than the longer term rates. When this happens, it typically signals a slowdown. In some cases, a recession. We don't expect anything close to a recession, but we do expect that. We have actually inverted a little bit. The second half of that forecast was that the 10-year Treasury note yield would stay at 4%. It says a four handle of the 4.6%. We've actually exceeded that and gone over 5%. I think the gist of this forecast is we do not expect longer-term interest rates to go very much higher than they are right now. We hadn't expected really to go over 5%. They have gone a little bit. The short-term rates have increased above that, but recently have dropped back below that. But I think what we're looking at is that we are close to the end of interest rate increases. We do expect the Fed to increase their Fed funds rate at least one more time to get over 5%. We hope that's the end of it. The market is telling us that it could possibly be the end. It could go up 5.25%. I think there's been about a 50% probability right now being priced in the futures market. But it does look like they're getting closer to the end of that. That's probably part of the reason we've seen the stock market rally like it has recently. That said, the fourth forecast we have is that we may experience a 10% correction in the stock market this year. This would be a normal phenomenon for the stock market. Typically, this happens about every 12 to 18 months. We've got 4 years without having a 10% correction. So it's a little bit playing the probabilities. It would not surprise us to see that happen. So far, it has not happened. We're close to all-time highs with Dow Jones. And again, we had a very strong first quarter in the stock market. We haven't participated. We'll get into that when we get into your portfolio review. So if we're wrong on this forecast, then hopefully that's good news that we don't have any kind of correction. We do expect if that does happen, however, that would be a buying opportunity. Okay, it would be a normal correction. We think that would be a dip in the market, an opportunity to increase allocations for the second half, but we feel like it would be a continued bull market. The fifth forecast is that growth outperforms value, and large cap outperforms small cap for the first time since 1999. In your portfolio, it's a core portfolio, so we have a blend of both growth and value stocks. We have shifted that tilt a little bit more towards growth. But again, we don't have a big bet on growth versus value or value versus growth. So that's the nature of this portfolio. What we do have, though, is definitely an emphasis on large cap stocks. So if we're correct that large cap outperforms small cap, then we could see good relative performance in your portfolio versus other portfolios. Sixth forecast is the U.S. dollar resumes its downtrend. We start to see that the dollar is weakening in today. If that happens, that will probably happen as interest rates start peaking, start coming back down. The dollar has been strong because our interest rates have been going up. As interest rates start peaking and coming down, then you would expect the dollar to decrease. A lot of times it will help some of the larger cap stocks. They have exposure to foreign markets. Lower dollar means that their goods are more affordable in the foreign markets. Seventh, led by Asia, the non-U.S. equity markets outperformed the U.S. for the fifth year in a row. This has been happening so far this year. International markets have been a little bit stronger. However, the U.S. markets have been fairly strong as well. Strong cash flow leads to another year high dividend increases, share buybacks, and M&A activity. That continues to happen. We continue to see some of your larger companies especially increase their dividends. This is a result of the change in tax law where you get a lower tax rate on dividends. This has definitely had a behavior, the correct behavioral impact on corporations. They've started paying out more in the way of dividends. Their payout ratio or the amount of their earnings they pay out in dividends is still low versus historic levels. So there's still room to continue raising dividends. So I think that again would be possible for the stock market. The ninth forecast for the commodity prices would be higher in 2006 versus 2005. This has certainly been the case. Metals have been higher. We know that energy has been higher. Some of your agricultural commodities have been higher as well. What we are not seeing yet is that that's getting into the core inflation rate. So that again, is positive. Wages have not started going up. This is a big component of inflation. So companies have been able to absorb the increases in commodity prices without passing those on to the consumer to this point. And the last forecast, and one that Bob Dahl tends to go out and make some kind of somewhat political prediction, not wanting one thing or another to happen. Says Republicans retain control of Congress but relinquish some of their advantage in the 2006 election. I think at this point that's anybody's guess. That's not going to have an impact on the market necessarily or your portfolios, but that's a forecast he's got. So in summary, we continue to see indications that the economy is slowing. Look for earnings growth to follow and slow as well. Close to the end of Fed funds increases, expect 5%, possibly 5.25%. But again, what the market is telling us that we may be getting closer to the end there. Would not be surprised to see a pullback in the stock market sometime this year. If so, again, reiterate, that would be a buying opportunity. We don't think it's the end of the bull market. It would just be a normal pullback and an opportunity to increase exposure. So those are the top 10 forecasts, I guess, for this year. Again, this book has some of the background behind that. Any questions on any of that before I move on to the portfolio review?
Yes. Since we're with individual stocks and they're large growth stocks, how do we cover the Asia, India, China? What kind of stocks do we have there?
Right now we've got an overweight of materials companies, so Phelps Dodge and Freeport MacMoran. Those are very large copper producers. China is obviously has been one of the big drivers of increased metals prices, so we have exposure there. continue to have an overweight in technology, and right now the U.S. is one of the leaders in technology. So that would translate then to foreign markets as well. And then we have an overweight in energy stocks, and part of the driver of higher energy prices has been the demand over in China. So I think that's been what we tend to do is anticipate some of the areas that benefit the most from some of that growth and overweight those sectors. No other questions, I'll turn you to page 14. This is simply a restatement of the investment objective in the benchmark for your portfolio. We're running this as a core balanced account, a mix of stocks and bonds. The stocks are different with benchmark versus the S&P 500. Fixed income shows the Merrill Lynch U.S. Corporate Government Master Index. You also have the Shearson-Lehman Bond Index. It's the same index. I think that may be in your investment policy as the benchmark. We can get that for you as well. If you look at it over the last 10 years, it's a matter of 0.00 or 0.012 basis points difference. But again, the fixed income component is high-quality corporate income of bonds. The next page is point your attention to start with. This is the current allocation at the end of February. If you look at the end of the year on the pie chart on the left-hand side, the mix of equities, fixed income, and cash equivalents, we're at 65% equities, which is the top end of our range, including market appreciation. Fixed income is about at 28%. We have just increased our exposure to fixed income by 32%. We have been at the fixed income page. Let's see if we also link the duration a little bit. We are starting to get back into the fixed income market a little bit more. We've been at the low end. As rates have risen, we see opportunities to go ahead and buy a little bit longer term bonds, increase our exposure there a little bit, as well as lengthen the average maturity of the bonds in the portfolio. So that has been a slight shift in the portfolio over the last couple of months, and we continue to look to make that presently. Page 16. It shows the top 10 holdings in the box on the left-hand side. So it says the sector weightings and the pie chart on the right. I'm going to direct your attention to the next page over to talk about sector weightings. Any questions about the top 10 holdings? One thing you would notice is that, again, the largest position we have is less than 3% of the portfolio. So this is a pretty diversified portfolio. We tend to have 45 to 50 stocks and try to add our value through sector weightings. As well as smaller industry packs. The next page is a very important page. This is the overweight sectors. I'll mention how we get this at Bay in Asia. We do have an overweight in the materials area. We have an overweight in energy. These have both helped our relative performance in the portfolio. And finally, we have an overweight in technology. And the bars, the left-hand bar, the blue bar, is a percent of your portfolio in that particular sector. The darker bar to the right is a percent of the overall market. So that's how you see where we have an overweight or an underweight. You can see the underweights would be in consumer discretionary and consumer staples. Consumer discretionary being retailing stocks. Consumer staples being some of your grocery stores, some of the things that you have to have. But both of these consistent with our theme that the consumer may slow down their spending. We're underweight there, so we're overweight those areas that benefit from corporate spending, underweight the areas that could be hurt by a slowdown in consumer spending. Next page, page 18, is the bond review. What this shows is the percent of your bond, the pie charts on the top, or the percent of your portfolio, which is in this, on the left-hand side, in the different sectors of the bond market, whether it be corporate, government, agency, or mortgage banks. The bottom boxes, if you look at the bottom box on the left-hand side, you'll see in the right column, it's got average quality, average duration, and average maturity. You'll see the average duration is 3.43 years. Average maturity of the bonds in your portfolio is 5.25 years. If you compare that to the box on the right, which is the benchmark, we are still a little bit short of the benchmark, so the average maturity of your bonds is shorter than a benchmark, and what that is positioned to do is in a rising interest rate environment, bond prices fall, so we tend to have shorter term, and the longer term bonds fall the most in a rising interest rate environment. So we want to have shorter-term bonds as rates rise. The heavy risk point now that we're starting to extend a little bit, buy a little bit longer-term bonds, because what we want to do is be positioned, buy the bonds with longer-term rates, and lock those in before we start dropping again. So we're gradually starting to lengthen a little bit. And again, this is a high-grade portfolio. The quality is double A. Question on bonds. All right, the next page is a performance. And we had I feel like it's pretty outstanding performance since Bob Dahl has assumed responsibility for the actual stock selection of the portfolio. If you look at the long box at the bottom, the top row is the total portfolio returns of your portfolio. The relevant benchmark would be either the very bottom row or the next to the bottom. It says S&P 500 slash 60. What that is 60% of the S&P 500. And this is the next to the bottom row. 60% of the S&P 500, 35% bonds, 5% cash. The bottom is actually 65% stocks, which would be at the top end of your portfolio, or your investment policy's range. Either of those is a blended benchmark of a stock index and a bond index, so that's the relevant measure as to how we're doing versus the top row. So you'll see the last 3 months, your portfolio has been up 3.47% in the top row, far left. The benchmark's been 1.99 or 1.81%, so we're about to form the benchmark there. Take that out to a 12-month return, two columns over. The last 12 months, your portfolio is up 11.48%. The benchmark is up at 5.89 or 6.16. You're going to have a higher stock benchmark. So, again, these are very, very good returns over the last 12 months. The reason we've had such good performance is the stocks in the portfolio. For the last 12 months, your stocks have been up almost 17%, 16.98. The S&P 500 is 8.4%. So, pretty much doubling the stock market returns in your portfolio. This is due to actual stock selection as well as some of the sector bets that, that Bob Dahl has had. Taking that out the longer term, if you go over to about a 3-year annualized, that is the third column from the right, the total portfolio is at 12.3%. As you see, that's a little bit above the benchmark of 12.08 or 11.16 for a 60-35 index. And the equities have averaged 18% versus the S&P at 17%. Most of that has come in the last 12 to 18 months. And again, if you're looking at how we've done versus our benchmark, 3 years annualized, we've had very good relative returns, good absolute returns. This market's done well for us. We don't expect, obviously, 18% annualized returns in the stock market going forward. 8% would be a pretty good number to shoot for in stocks, maybe 5% in bonds. So on an annualized basis, you know, we'd hope to come up with returns in that 6-7% annualized, which is probably about where your actual assumptions are. Any other questions? Behind this, we have a breakdown of the actual portfolio. There's one more page of performance, just graphically, page 20. And we have the portfolio and some trades behind that. Jeff had just asked me a question. I'm not sure how many of you are aware that we have entered into a merger agreement with BlackRock as far as my division. Keeping in mind, Merrill Lynch Investment Managers is a subsidiary of Merrill Lynch & Co. So there's actually three divisions of Merrill Lynch & Co. Jeff works for one on the private client side. There's an investment banking side. The asset management group is a group I work with, and we've I've certainly said this before. We're independent of the broker side, so that should be a good thing for you, and that we can look at not just Merrill Lynch's research from their private client side, but we can research from Wall Street as well as our own internal analysts. We're in the process of going through a merger with BlackRock Investments. They are acquiring all of Merrill Lynch's investment managers. mentioned before, 99% held by Verilis & Co. That will not affect anything that you're seeing here. What will happen is Bob Dahl and our group will be absorbed by BlackRock. He will continue to be the portfolio manager for this portfolio. I'll continue to be portfolio manager for me out in the field, working with Jeff and the rest of Merrill Lynch to represent their clients. And in this case, your portfolio itself. So there'll be absolutely no effect at all on the way the portfolio is run. Our interaction with Merrill Lynch, our interaction with you, but I'm sure that's one of those key things that we pointed out in the U.S. policy statement. So, any questions about that?
I've got a question here on your equities here, 24. What did you got accidental petroleum in there? When did you pick that up? When did you pick it out? On 2024, so you got on the equity, you got accidental petroleum in there. I just wonder, when did you
say we buy position?
Quite a few small sales. The reason was we did pare back our equity exposure to a degree. The upper limit is 65% increasing. It's targeted 60%, up to 65% as a result of market appreciation. But we made a strategic move to lower our equity allocation to a degree. So we made a lot of small sales across the portfolio. That's why there's no activity this last quarter.
Any other questions?